if you will. So it's a good time. It's a good time for reflection. It's a good time for repentance. It's a good time for forgiveness. It's a good time to really examine yourself as you get ready to go into the next year that's up and coming, because you want to be in right position, right standing, right relationship with God. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's what righteousness is all about, being in right standing with God. That being said, this coming Saturday, October the 5th, October is going to be a busy month. E-Team will be going out, and they'll be going out at 10:30. Brother Kwame will be in contact with you, or you can contact him and let him know that you're available to go out to the streets with him as they go to reap the harvest for the glory of God. Amen? And so in addition to that, we have something very special that will begin this coming Sunday at 9 o'clock, October the 6th, and that is we will begin our Next Step New Members Orientation class for those who are interested in becoming a member of Threshing Floor Tabernacle. This will be held in the MP room, which is down the way. It's a four-week class, and each week is going to be power-packed, and each week is going to be a tremendous blessing, and we can't wait to see the first class completed, and then we just welcome you into the fellowship, because you will have learned more about the ministry itself and how you can fit in and seek God for what he would have you to do while you are here. Amen? Praise God. So anyways, that begins this coming Sunday. Minister Patton has been spearheading this through the KBT team and the I won't call them players, I was going to say the players, but the saints or the other leaders that have worked with him, Sister Kianani, Sister Finn, and Minister, who? Brother Tim, okay. And so they will be working together. Your instructors will be, first up is Minister Patton and Sister Kianani. Amen. That's going to be awesome. They have their topics that they will be teaching on. And then next will follow Minister Posada or Minister Killings and Sister Shanice. That's going to be awesome. And then the third week will consist of Minister Posada and Sister Lauren. And then Brother Tim, amen, amen. And then the fourth week will consist of a little bit of all of them, and mostly me and Pastor Lucia will be bringing it to a close. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be good. And if you, even if you've been here a while but you haven't gone through the class and you'd like to go through it, then by all means, show up at 9 o'clock. I think that's what time it is, and we'll be happy to have you in there. Amen. Get you engrafted into the work. Hallelujah. We need laborers. Praise God. We need soldiers. We need warriors. So that's going to be this Sunday. Amen. Are you excited about it? I know the team is. Yeah, they're ready to unload on you, release into you for the glory of God. Let's receive our offering tonight. Those of you who have given, thank you. We will give, and let's bring it before the Lord. We have a guest with us tonight. Let's extend a warm and gracious welcome to Letitia. Is it Perry? Letitia Perryman. Amen. Welcome in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank you for fellowshipping with us tonight. We bless you, and we pray that you receive all that God has in store. If you have any questions after service tonight, by all means, don't hesitate to ask. We'd be happy to share with you. Thank you, Sister Taryn, for inviting her. Keep on going. That's how it gets. That's how we get it. One by one, bring them into the things of God. Let's stand on our feet and worship the Lord in our giving. If we have a, there were no prayer requests, but we just come in agreement with you right now. If you have a need, that the Lord will fill it and will fill it according to his desires, which are above ours, but are the very best thing that could happen to us. It was Fred Hammond. Fred Hammond wrote a song called "You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me." Can you just say that to the Lord? You don't have to say it, but if you really think or believe that in your heart and in your mind, can we just say it? You're the best thing that ever happened to me, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. And so with that in mind, his desires, which are higher than ours, just as his thoughts are higher than ours, his ways are higher than ours, his desires are higher than ours, which mean they're the best thing for us. And so we want your desires, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And so we pray for every person who is here who has a need that has to be met. Lord, you have the answer. You have the power. You have the authority. You have the ability. We give you free reign by welcoming you into our situation. We agree with our brother and sister who has a need. We agree with the saints of God in this tabernacle, in this place, that have a need, that you will meet that and exceed their need by giving them your desires for them, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Because you're trying to get us to a place, and a wealthy place at that. You're trying to get us, Lord God, to a place that, Lord God, only you can do. And it is a very best place for us, and that is close to you. So, Father, meet every need. Let it be satisfied in abundance. Demonstrate your mighty power by stretching out your arm and working signs and wonders in the name of Jesus on behalf of your sons and daughters in this place. Let no one, Father God, go away lacking, wanting, or begging. For the righteous and their seed don't beg for bread, because you abundantly supply, Lord God. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. So that no one feels forsaken, no one lives forsaken. All live holding on to you in the wonderful name of Jesus. So bless them financially. Open up doors of opportunity. Bring increase in the name of Jesus. Bless businesses to prosper. Bless the saints on their jobs. Give raises and promotions, Lord God. Turn the hearts of employers and supervisors in favor towards your sons and daughters in Jesus' name. Give raises, give promotions, give bonuses, give incentives, Lord God. Increase their flock, increase their fold, increase their possessions for your glory and great name's sake, that we may all be empowered to be a blessing, that your covenant is established among the nations. So bless this offering that we present to you now and meet the need of every one of your sons and daughters. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. I want to go to one book in the Bible, and it is Psalm 63. I won't have time to share everything that I'd like to share, but I'll give what I can. There's really just one verse that I want to hone in or focus in on, but the psalm itself is so good that it's worth reading. You mind if we just read together? Hallelujah. You may not have enough lighting, but if you have electronic, of course, your electronic phone would light it up for you. But just follow along, and it might be on the screen sometime soon. Psalm 63. We'll just begin at verse 1, and we'll just read and stop where God highlights things. The title of it says, A Psalm of David When He Was in the Wilderness of Judah. It's believed that this is one of the psalms that King David wrote while on the run from his son Absalom, who had led in rebellion because he didn't like the way his dad handled a certain matter, a family matter, if you will. His half-brother, Absalom's half-brother, raped Absalom's sister, who was the half-sister of the brother who raped her. Incest is nothing new, and that doesn't mean we view it with any less seriousness, because it's a serious matter when it does happen, whether it was back in biblical days or even today when it does happen. But Absalom's brother wanted his half-sister, who was Absalom's full sister, and he wanted her so bad that he was sick. He became sick, and his cousin asked him, you know, what's wrong? And he shares with him what the problem is, and so the cousin gives him the plan, the blueprint, to lay with his half-sister that he's so lovesick over. And, you know, when you look at it, it's like, man, sin will make you do crazy things. And so after he rapes her, commits incest with her, then the scripture says afterward he hated her. And it says he hated her more than he loved her. He thought he loved her, but after he did what he did to her, he hated her. And whereas he had her locked in the room where he could take advantage of her, after he did what he did, he put her out. She's like, no, don't do this to me. She tried to stop him before, but even afterwards, she's trying to talk to him to make sense out of him. You know, ask my father, he will give me to you. But he's like, no, get out. And so he puts her out, and she goes away in shame, and Absalom sees her, and he says, what's wrong? And then he finds out what his brother did. And so, long story short, David didn't handle the situation properly. David, coming out of a situation himself where he has been confronted about a thing that he did that was wrong with Bathsheba and all. And not only did he go and or have her brought to his house and he laid with her, but he got her pregnant and then sent her home. Well, he had already sent her home, but he got word that she was pregnant, so he tried to pull her husband off the battlefield and send him home so that he could be with his wife and he could lay with his wife, and then his wife could say she was pregnant by her husband, but she was actually pregnant by David. And so David tried to cover that thing up, and when the husband wouldn't cooperate with the problem, with the scheme, if you will, for lack of better words, he wouldn't be a part of that. He didn't partake of it because of his conviction. He felt like, my brothers are out there fighting on the line, on the battlefield, and here I am, and you're telling me to go and take pleasure with my wife. No, I want to be out there on the battlefield with my brothers because they're out there fighting, if you will. And so anyways, David is just coming off of this. He's been confronted by Nathan the prophet and told a story or a parable, if you will, and the parable was so real to David and revelatory to him that David rose up with righteous indignation and anger, and he wanted to kill the person who had done this. And Nathan says, you're the man. And so then David was pierced and pricked in his heart, and he repented before God, and that was one of the psalms that he wrote in Psalms 51. However, this particular psalm is believed to be when he was running from Absalom. And the way he handled the situation with his son who had committed incest was he basically did nothing. And Absalom took matters into his own hand, and he killed his brother because his brother had violated his sister. And so, of course, that led to a whole nother thing. And you can read the scriptures. It's very interesting. to catch up on it or to get all of the other details if it's so pricked your ears and your interest. But in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. That word early not only means early in the morning when I rise, if you will, but it also means earnestly, earnestly, diligently, seriously, I will seek thee. Now, this is King David, yes. But the scriptures are written for our learning and our admonition. And they're teaching us. It's like we can, because of the grace of God, in the sense that God saw fit to bring us forth at this time and not in previous or biblical times, we can look at their mistakes and learn from their mistakes. And if you ever want to get wise, you can always look at the elderly or those who are older than you, and you can watch their lives, and you can see and learn from their mistakes so that you don't commit the same mistakes, if you will. And some of us will still make those same mistakes, but hopefully and prayerfully we learn from them and that others will learn from our mistakes as well, so that we have a generation that comes up that does better rather than repeats the same offenses over and over and over again. But we can look back in the scriptures, and as Paul said to the church at Corinth, he says these things are written for our admonition and our learning so that we would not commit the same sins that they did. We would not tempt God the way that they did. We would not be held or kept out of the plan and purpose of God, which is our Canaan land, the life that he's called us to live and the things that he wants to do and accomplish and achieve through us. Those things will keep us out of there. And so we learn from others' mistakes, if you will. So just like we can learn from their mistakes, we can also learn from their successes. I'll just call it that. We can also learn from the good things that they did, and we can imitate those things. Like Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it's around verse 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, he's saying, watch my life, imitate my life, as my life imitates the life of Christ. And he was sold out for Jesus. So it wasn't one of those do as I say, but don't do as I do type thing. That's the kind of teaching we teach our kids today. Well, don't do it because it's do what I tell you to do. And then we have no scruples or things like that. And a lot of times our kids, they learn from watching us. They do what they see us do. Even if we tell them to do something right, they still watch and see, okay, well, that must be the right way to do it, even though you're telling me something different. And they end up repeating the same mistakes that we do. However, we can learn from the good. And so David said this, oh God, you are my God. Now ask yourself, or you answer that question, is God your God? Are we talking about the same God that David is talking about? I believe we are, and I believe everybody in this tabernacle is. When I say I believe, that's not a weakness or anything like that. It's just my belief is that we are. We all serve the same God, God the Father. We serve God the Son. We serve God the Holy Ghost, if you will. We serve, and his name is Jehovah. And I like the way one commentator said it. He says, we don't call God by his name just for mere words. His name represents his character. And when we learn about God's character, then we learn how we're supposed to carry and conduct ourselves, the type of character God is trying to develop in us, even as we try and develop the character in others as well as ourselves. So he says, oh God, you are my God, early. And remember, early is not only just early in the morning, and there's no greater way to start your day than starting it out in the presence of God. You know, it's like, I don't have time. Make time. I think it was Ed Cole, and I might have, not Ed Cole, but his son, Paul Cole, who shared his, I don't know whether it was like a joke or an actual suggestion, but this individual was saying how you can gain. Hold on one second. Let me see. Can you be patient with me just for a minute? Okay. Well, if you can't be, then you just have to sit there and be upset. times. Okay, divide by 6. I'm doing the calculation. So the guy says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you how to gain 30 hours extra in a year. And so, of course, curiosity peaks, and it's like, can you use 30 more hours in a year? And we could probably use more than that, but it'll take 30. And he says, get up 5 minutes early every day. Yeah, it has that kind of effect. For some of you, you're still trying to register. Get up 5 minutes earlier every day and you'll gain 30 hours in the year. Now, if you get up earlier than that, you do 15 minutes, of course, you're going to have 30 times 15, which is like 405, something like that. You know, I don't know. I used to be so good at math, and then when I start trying to calculate, it just gets all mushy. But I can still do it. It's just the concentration and all. But early is the key. Early is a good thing. No better way to start your day than to start it in the presence of God. So I don't have time. Well, start making time. Just if you can get 5 minutes in, if you can get just 2 minutes in, 2 minutes are better than no minutes. Amen? Would you agree? But the thing of it is that that will take you even further if you will allow him to. You start with the two, but the two are going to increase. Even if it's only to three, they're going to increase. Eventually, you'll hit five. And it won't seem like a whole hour has gone by. It'll seem like, man, it'll go by so quick. And then you find yourself, and I like to use this word. I'm not saying it's the best word to use, but how many of you remember B.B. Winans? You had B.B. Winans and C.C. Winans who used to, they still minister in song, but not as much as they used to, especially back in the 80s and the 90s, and so they're really going strong. But anyways, he wrote, he sung a song. I don't know if it was him and his sister wrote it, but it was called Addicted Love. And that song, boy, when I heard that, yeah, see, it's one of those songs, Sookie Sookie type of song. Sorry for that, but, you know, it's one of Addicted Love. And I was in the bookstore one day, and I saw this, it was like a clip, and it said Addicted to Christ, and you know I had to buy it. Bought it, I don't know where it is now, but I bought it, I had it for so many years, if you will, Addicted to Christ. So the word that I want to use is addicted. You get addicted to the time, if you will, and sometimes it can be seasonal, and you know, you go strong for a period of time, and then it may taper off. It doesn't have to taper off, but it may taper off. But then there's a surgence. And I'm telling you, when you get into praying consistently to God and seeking his face, just the mention of somebody else talking about prayer makes you want to pray right then and there. Because you it's like, yeah. And if you felt yourself like slacking, it's just a thing you need. It's just a booster you need if you were to get you right back into action, because you've gotten to that place to where it has now got you. It's got you. You're not just trying to get, it's got you. Prayer has taken over you, if you will, to fulfill God's will in the earth. And so David said this, God, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. So not only early, but earnestly as well, diligently, seriously, will I seek you, looking unto you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and thirsty land with no water. Now, obviously, David's in a place where it is not comfortable. And everything is not what it was before. He is not in the palace. He does not have servants all around him. He does not have his servants bringing in, you know, the food or the fruit and all of the luxuries and things that he's accustomed to as king, if you will. Now he's in a dry place. Now he's in a place where he is being chased, if you will. He's in a place where you know, fear can easily grip his heart because it's like, am I getting ready to go on and meet God, or am I going to be victorious, or what's going to happen with this? All I know is that I'm in this place. But still, what's he doing in that place that he is in? I don't mean to harp on things, but I do want to stress things. It doesn't matter what life brings your way. You are well equipped to handle whatever it is. Not because of your strength, not because of your might, not because of your wisdom, but because of the God whom you love and serve. And if you think God is going to abandon you in your time of need, you're going to find out that it's in your time of need that God is closest to you. One of the most powerful poems that moved me, that we don't know who the writer is, but it was just so strong. I can remember the very first time I read it was Footprints. And not knowing how the outcome or the end was going to end, when I got there, I'm like, whoa, my first time reading it. And it's like, Lord, I noticed that, and I'll paraphrase, as we're walking down the beach, I noticed that, you know, when things were good, there's two sets of footprint. But, Lord, all of a sudden when things got bad, I only saw one set of footprints. Why is that? Because he's automatically, or she, whoever wrote it, automatically thinking that one set of footprints, look, God has abandoned me. And then God speaks and says, my child, when you only see the one set of footprints, it was at that time that I was carrying you. And so it's like God is not going to leave you no matter how bad. And I've been through some difficult things, and everybody should have their own testimony of what God brought them through. But in the midst of everything that I went through, I'm clinging to God. And this is what the psalmist says. You cling to the Lord in times of crisis. You cling to the Lord when things seem like they're falling apart all around. You cling to the Lord when times get tough. You cling to him. You trust him. He's not going to abandon you. He's not one of those, as they call it, fair-weathered friends. When the weather's fair, when everything is going good, they're around you. But all of a sudden, when you're doing bad, they ain't nowhere to be found. They're gone. They're with you while you got the goods, but when you run out of the goods, they're gone to milk somebody else, if you will. And when they have them, they don't want to see you. Praise God. However, he said, God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and thirsty land with no water. So his external condition only amplified his internal desires, which was to be with God and to be in God and to have God come and comfort him. He says, I have seen you, listen to this, in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Lord, in the good times when we were having a glorious time, and I believe, and I think that others believe as well, that when David is talking about being in the sanctuary, he's not talking about having the congregation full, where it's a packed house and everybody's praising God. You know, he writes other times about the good times we had on our way to the house of God, talking about, I believe it was the times when he would go with Ahithophel, who was his war counselor, and as they're walking and they're going to fellowship, they're having a great time, and in the midst they're having a great time. But at this time, David is talking about being in the sanctuary by himself with God, having an encounter with God himself. And he remembers those times in the difficult times. And so he had those times alone when everything was going good and he was in the sanctuary. And now that he's out here in this dry and thirsty land, now that he's out here and he's in want and in need, he is looking to God. And this is what God wants for each and every one of us as his sons and daughters. To see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. Give me just a couple of more minutes. My lips will praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live, or while I'm alive. I will bless you. I will lift up my hands in your name. This is a worshiper here. Hallelujah. This is one who is not just an external for people to see type worshiper. This is one who is from within. They love God, and they love him according to how he has revealed himself to them and the way God would desire us to love him. He says, my soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Now, mind you, all of this is going on while he's in that dry and thirsty land with no water. He recalls the good times, but he brings that even now to where he is at. And this is something that we can learn from as the people of God, because we don't have to just get our praise on when we're here in the tabernacle, when the praise team is up here leading us in worship, which we ought to do. It's where we learn, but it's also where we engage as an assembly. We come in together one accord, if you will. But personal and private is necessary as well. That's when you know that it's real and genuine and that it's gotten on the inside of you. You know how it is when you season meat, it's just seasoned on the outside. You want it to marinate and get inside the meat as well, to the point that you're ready to eat the bone. It's so good. Yeah. So our relationship with God to the bone. Remember, when I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul clings hard to you. Yeah. Now, that verse in King James translation, yes, my soul followeth hard. And this is the verse that I wanted to get to, and I'm going to stop after I say these few things. Followeth hard, followeth hard, followeth hard. What do you think about when you hear followeth hard after? Huh? Go strong. Somebody said go strong. Okay. Give it your all. I hear something from this side. Yearn. Okay, you said yearn. Okay. Hot pursuit. Perfect. Persevere. Yeah. All of those are good. Clinging to him. Cleaving to him. Follow hard after him. The Greek word, or the Hebrew word, has the definition of cleaving. And it's the same Hebrew word that God uses when he says concerning Adam and Eve, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And this is what David is saying, because the intimacy between us and God should surpass human intimacy. It should go deeper and beyond human intimacy. God says we shall love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he says we shall love our neighbor as we do ourselves. He's give me more, because I'm giving you more. And so it means to cleave. And so the picture that you get is, Minister Posada, if you would just stand up and just walk by, if you will, and just walk on by. And it's like, this is the picture. It's like you just come and you just cleave to him. And you just don't let him go. And it's like, you're not going anywhere without me. I'm going everywhere with you. I'm not going to be separated from you. I'm just going to walk with you. I'm cleaving to you. I'm clinging to you. You can't go anywhere without me. And Dad's big enough to hold 7 billion people clinging to him all at one time, and he's still able to be Dad and govern the universe and govern everything he's got. But this is what he wants for his sons and daughters, to be cleaving and clinging to him, holding on and never letting go. You don't let go of God in a crisis. You don't let go of God in a storm. You don't let go of God in adversity. No, you keep clinging to him. Yeah. Because he's not going to run away from you. Oh, they having bad. They having trouble, Jesus. Let's go find somebody that's having a good time. They having problems. He's not going to run away from you and your problems. Don't you run away from him. Don't let nothing separate you from God. So David says, this translation says, my soul clings hard to you. In other words, it's like there's no air, there's no gap between us. And then look at what David says. Your right hand upholds me. So we cling to God. God releases his power in us to stand and to withstand, because God won't leave us in the evil day. He says, therefore, stand, having done everything to stand. Nothing separates you from God except for you. And you must always remember that he's with you. And he's not with you for defeat. He's with you for victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet. Get the Lord a hand of praise. He is not with you for defeat. He is with you for victory. Hallelujah. Glory. I remember the time, and there's been a few times where I've been afflicted physically so bad that only God brought me through. I shared it before. I don't know if I shared it with you or I was sharing it with Pastor Lucia. At one time, 1 year, I had a tailbone problem. Have no idea what brought it on. I was in an accident when I was like 17 years old, but had fully recovered from that. But my tailbone, it was so sensitive, and I had to drive to work over in Pleasant Hill and drive home and go forth and do ministry. When I say do ministry, it'd be Sunday or Monday, well, not Monday, but Wednesday night Bible study. And it was so painful. And so this one evening, I stayed home. I figured I would soak myself in the tub, and maybe that would help to resolve the issue. And I got stuck in the tub. It was so painful, and nobody there to help me out of the tub. So what did I do? I called on the name of the Lord. Praise God. I called on the name of my God. And as God is my witness, whom I stand before, as I stand before you, I finally got myself in a position, and then I would say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And every time I did it, until finally I reached enough height to get out of that tub. But when I got out of that tub, I didn't take the pain with me either, because God delivered me from that thing. Hallelujah. But there's been other moments, and the only reason I bring that up is because, you know, even in serious matters, where you know, whether it be people, it could be a job, it could be just a crisis that happens in family and stuff like that. You know, it's like 2010 was a very rocky year towards the end, but God brought us through it. But at that time, it was like only the grace of God. I just had the worst news that a pastor and a father could ever get. And it was a Wednesday. And so it's like, whew, man, how am I going to go before the people and minister and everything that was happening? And praise God. As God is my witness. And we had some new people coming out that night, too. And so they didn't need to hear a, like, woe is me type of thing or you know, coming together and talking about the things that had happened. And they were hungry for a word. And I kid you not, it was one of the most powerful nights. You never would have known anything was wrong because of the way the grace of God just, and it was all about seeking him throughout the day, because, Lord, you got to, because, you know, this you'll get me through, but this is your work, and it must go forward. And I kid you not, God is so faithful. He is so faithful. And I say that to you, so you will be encouraged when you start coming into things. Things start happening. You'll find that God is closer to you. And it's not like, when I say this, it's not like God just, you know, when everything's going good, he sits way over there on the other side. But the psalmist says it best. He is a very present help in time of trouble. And to me, that means his presence gets stronger and greater, because whatever the crisis is, whatever the problem is, God shows that he's greater than the problem. But you'll never know it if you don't trust him. And if you don't call on him in that time or try and work things out in your own strength, because see, when you're a child of God, God doesn't expect you to fight your own battles. He wants to fight for you. He'll tell you to get up there. Just stand still and see my salvation. He'll tell you to get up there and just praise. He'll just tell you. It'll be something that sounds foolish that God will tell you to do. But it's only because it takes his power and his might to overcome the situation that you may find yourself in. And nothing is too difficult for him. Amen? Absolutely nothing. And so as the psalmist says, we say also, I follow hard after you, Lord. Yeah. At all times, and especially in difficult times. It's not like we use God for a crutch just to get through the difficult times. We praise him, we love him, we serve him at all times. But when bad times hit, it's even, we just, yeah. It's like we run to him for the shelter. We run to him to be the cover, if you will, the refuge in the time of storm. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your sons and daughters. We pray that you watch over each and every one of them. We thank you for the offerings that were received tonight. They will go for your work, for your purpose, and we pray that you continue to bless your people. Even these who are watching live stream, we thank them for tuning in, and if there's anyone out there who needs to receive Jesus, I would encourage you to do it right now. Don't delay. Don't wait. It's very simple. But then it's a life that God calls us into that we must cultivate and develop. And if we don't do that, we'll never get to the place of appreciating God's goodness, because we'll always live from the old man and the old life and the old ways and the old habits. And God is trying to bring us into something new, something different, something that is of him. So it's simple. Just say this, Father, forgive me. I repent of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. And now according to your word and according to the faith you've given me, I'm saved. Thank you for saving me. And from this moment on and from this moment forward, build your relationship. Get to know God. God already knows you, but you need to get to know him personally and intimately. Get planted in a church that teaches you the word of God. Be accountable to the those who will oversee and watch out for your soul. It is a good thing. It's not slavery or bondage. You actually come into liberty, but you need somebody to help you along the way, and that's what the saints of God are here for, in Jesus' name. So we love you. Thank you for tuning in. And now the Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you. Bless the world.